أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولما رأى المؤمنون الأحزاب قالوا هذا ما وعدنا الله ورسوله وصدق الله ورسوله وما زادهم إلا إيمانا وتسليما وصدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله with the fuzzle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight being the 20th night of this Mubarak month of Ramadan, we had the opportunity to complete the 21st juz of the Qur'an Majid. In the 21st juz, there were four surahs that were recited. We completed with Surah Al-Ankabut, and thereafter we recited Surah Al-Rum. The opening verses of Surah Al-Rum, Allah Ta'ala talks about when Rome was conquered by Persia. Thereafter we recited Surah Al-Sajda. After Surah Al-Rum, we recited Surah Al-Luqman. And thereafter we recited Surah Al-Sajda. Surah Al-Luqman also, there's a lot of explanation, a lot of tafsir to be given. Inshallah, in the coming days, if Allah Ta'ala gives the opportunity, we'll discuss the lessons derived from Surah Al-Luqman. After Surah Al-Luqman, we recited Surah Sajda. Many of us are familiar with Surah Al-Sajda. And we find that the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not go to sleep until he recited Surah Al-Mulk and Surah Al-Sajda. And Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to normally recite it between Maghrib and Isha. After Surah Al-Sajda, we recited Surah Al-Ahzab. And that is the surah that we're going to discuss today, Surah Al-Ahzab. Surah Al-Ahzab, Ahzab means groups. And the groups being discussed here is, for our understanding, a better word that we can understand with means coalition, where different parties form a coalition. Another meaning or another word for Ahzab, or Ahzab means, Ahzab is referring to the battle that took place in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ghazwatul Ahzab. And another meaning or another name for the battle of Ahzab is Battle of the Trench, Ghazwatul Khandaq. Now, some brief history regarding the Battle of Ahzab. As we know, when Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Madinah Munawwara, there were three Jewish tribes that resided there. One was the Banu Qaynuqa, one is the Banu Nazir, and one of the Banu Qurayza. When the Sahaba went there, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam went there, then they signed a peace treaty with them, that they will live with each other in harmony, in peace, and they will assist each other. If there was any war or any attack taking place towards them, then they will assist each other. And this was the pact that they had amongst them. So the three tribes, Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Qurayza, and Banu Nazir. However, the first tribe broke their treaty after the Battle of Badr, and they were expelled from Madinah Munawwara. Now the second tribe, Banu Nazir, they lived in harmony with the Sahaba. However, in the fifth year of Hijrah, they also made a plan to harm the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they devised a plan, and they requested Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come to their dwellings. Their dwellings were approximately 4 shari miles from where Masjid al-Nabawi, from where the Sahaba resided. Very, very short distance. So they requested Rasulullah ﷺ to come and mediate in a personal matter that they had. Rahmatul lil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ready to assist any person from any walk of life. So Nabi Akram ﷺ was going to assist the Jews in a matter that they had called Rasulullah ﷺ for. However, it was not really their plan to call Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to assist them, but na'uzu billah ma'azallah, it was their plan to kill the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala inspired upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding their plan, and immediately Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam thereafter returned, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a sahabi to inform them that we are well aware of what you had planned, and they admitted to it. So Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them an ultimatum that they should leave Madinah Munawwara because they had now broken their peace treaty. And he gave them a time also, to a time frame to leave Madinah. So they left Madinah Munawwara. But after leaving Madinah, they now began planning an attack upon the Muslims. So they went first to Makkah al-Mukarramah. And we know Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, five years prior to that, was banished from Makkah al-Mukarramah. And the kuffar were always looking to now attack Medina again. So they went to the mushrikeen, the Jews who were Ahl al-Kitab. They were in their own way, obviously they were practicing a book that was not the original book, but they were still people of the book. And they believed in Allah, and in their own concocted way they were following it. They were followers of the Torah. So they went to the mushrikeen, idol worshippers. The Quraysh, the Kuffar of Makkah were idol worshippers. So they went there and they began discussing with them in order to strengthen their army and launch an attack against the Muslims. So the mushrikeen of Makkah, they were very surprised. Muslims are people of the book. The Jews are also people of the book. And here you are coming to form a coalition with idol worshippers. So it was not something normal. So first thing the mushrikeen asked them, they tell us, is that which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inviting towards, more closer towards your religion or more beloved to you, or that which we are worshipping? In other words, we are worshipping idols. Is that more closer to you? 360 idols, Lat, Manat, Hubal, Uzza, all were present in the Kaaba at that time. Is that more closer towards your religion? So the Jews even went to this extent and said that no, the idols are even more closer to our religion than that which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is calling towards. Islam and the deen, the kitab, etc. is not what is closer to us, but the idols. So like that, they sold their own religion. Thereafter they formed a coalition with other tribes, the Banu Ghatfan tribe, and other tribes also surrounding Makkah al-Mukarramah. They formed an army with them. And now a very, very large army of 12,000 was now going to prepare and launch an attack on Madinah Munawwara. Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about this army coming. So Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consulted with the Sahaba that how we are going to defend Madinah Munawwara from this large army that is coming. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, whom we had discussed earlier on in the 7th para of the Quran, how he accepted Islam. So he suggested to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that in Persia, when they used to fight, then they used to dig large trenches to defend themselves. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked this idea, and the Sahaba now began digging this large trench. It was in very, very difficult times that they were digging this trench. There was drought in Madinah Munawwara, there was hunger, there was famine, there was shortage of food. And the Sahaba went through a lot of difficulty in digging this trench. But whilst they were digging this trench, many miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were witnessed. The Sahaba were busy digging this trench, and at one stage they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there is no food, we are going through a lot of hunger. Some of the Sahaba showed Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they had stones tied to their bellies to pacify their hunger and to make themselves feel as if they were full. They tied stones to their bellies. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at the Sahaba, and thereafter Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam lifted up his own Mubarak garment, and he showed the Sahaba that he did not have one, but he had two stones tied to his belly. Such was the difficulty, such was the hardship that they were enduring while they were digging their trench. While they were digging their trench, the Sahaba, with happiness, نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايِعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقِينَا أَبَدًا. We are those group of people that have pledged allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will remain striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will continue remain striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you sing other nazams and other poetry which are mentioned, that لولا الله ما اهتدينا ولا صلينا ولا تصدقنا وثبت الأقدام إن لاقينا. That had it not been for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there was no Allah, that we would not have been rightly guided, we would not have given charity, we would not have performed salah, we would not have spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they make dua to Allah ta'ala, for Allah ta'ala to keep them steadfast upon deen and to assist them. And like that they continue digging, and the mu'jizahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were witnessed. Once the Sahaba came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they advised him, O Nabi of Allah, there is a very, very large boulder. We are unable to break it. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes to them, and there was a large boulder there. So Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took an axe, and he struck it with one blow. Sahaba mentioned that the first blow that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam struck it, a large spark came out, which illuminated both ends of Medina Munawwara. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited, Allahu Akbar. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam struck it with a second blow. Another large spark was illuminated. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited, Allahu Akbar. And the third blow, Nabi Akram struck that boulder. That entire boulder was reduced to dust and ashes. Thereafter, the Sahaba inquired from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There are different interpretations. One interpretation is this, that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that when I struck the first blow, Allah Ta'ala showed me that the palaces of Khosrow, and it was said to me that soon this will fall into the hands of the believers. The second blow, the palaces of Qaisar were shown to me, and it was said to me that this would soon fall to the hand of the believers also. The Munafiqeen, when they heard this, they began laughing and mocking at the believers, that here you all are suffering, an army of 12,000 is about to come and overpower Medina, and Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is talking about conquering Rome and conquering Persia and conquering Yemen and conquering Sham according to the different narrations. So they use it and they mock Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We find that in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, this prophecy of Rasulullah SAW became true, and all these countries were conquered. Hazrat Abu Hurairah mentioned on that occasion that now the keys are falling, of these cities are falling into our hands. The keys of these cities were already given to the hands of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam during the lifetime of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had prophesied it. Like that, the Sahaba were going through difficulty. This army now approached, and they saw this large trench. They were unable to cross it, so they camped outside Medina Munawwara, and they effectively laid siege to Medina. Amongst them, there was a warrior whose name was Amr ibn Wud. He was a very, very fierce warrior, very, very strong and powerful fighter. He was injured in the Battle of Badr. He could not participate in Uhud, and he had a revenge against the believers. So he managed to somehow dive into that trench. And as he dived into the trench, and like that, arrows were being exchanged from side to side, but there was no real warfare taking place. When Amr ibn Wud went into the trench, now he began challenging, is there anyone from the believers who is ready to come and fight me? So Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu took permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he went to fight him. Amr ibn Wud, armed to the teeth, head to toe, with strong weaponry and strong armor. So he could not see who came. So he inquires that, who is it? So he mentions, Ali rather mentions that Ali ibn Abi Talib. So Amr ibn Wud says that, you are a youngster, a child. I do not wish to fight you. Rather, I would like to meet one of your uncles or someone senior. So Hazrat Ali rather replies that, but I want to kill you. Amr ibn Wud became so upset that with one blow he struck Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Ali was quick to react. He reacted with his shield, but he broke the shield of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu in one blow. But Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu retaliated, and now they began exchanging. Nabi Akram Sallam and the Sahaba above the trench, they cannot see what is happening. All they can see is blows being exchanged and dust from one side to another. They can see two people fighting, but they do not know what is happening. And this continued for a while, and after a short while, Nabi Akram Sallam and the Sahaba, as the dust settled, they heard Hazrat Ali shouting, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, the enemy of Allah has been destroyed. And thereafter they saw the body of Amr ibn Wud lying at the feet of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, and Allah Ta'ala had given Hazrat Ali victory over this. So after this body was taken away, the kuffar of Makkah, they requested, and they sent a very, very large sum in exchange for the body of Amr ibn Wud. Nabi Akram Sassan told them that they did not want anything in exchange. Your money is cursed, and this person is cursed also, and they returned the body back. Like that, the kuffar remained there. For 1 month, siege was laid on Medina Munawwara. Another miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was witnessed. As I mentioned, they were going through a lot of hunger. So Hazrat Jabir goes home, and he mentions to his wife that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, I can see hunger. They have not eaten for days. They do not have any food. Is there anything at home that we can assist? So she says that all we have is little bit of dough, little bit of flour to make bread, or wheat to make bread, and we have this small animal of ours. So he slaughtered that animal and he instructed her to cook and make some bread and meat. And before he left home, his wife explicitly told him, there was a large army of Sahaba also, approximately 1,000. So his wife tells him that, do not humiliate me in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he understood now there's food enough for a few people. So he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he tells Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, O Nabi of Allah, there is food at home for you and a few of the Sahaba. Nabi Akram sallallahu inquired from him that, what do you have? So he explained to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a little bit of meat and a little bit of bread. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam loudly calls out to the entire army of Sahaba that, O Jamaat of Sahaba, Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu has invited you all to come and partake from his home. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu is now worried and finished. His wife gave him instructions, do not disgrace me. And now Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls the entire Jamaat of Sahaba, 1,000 men, food sufficient for a few Sahaba. So immediately he goes home and he explains to her what happened. And she also is a bit worried, but thereafter they realize that this is Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he gave them instructions that keep the pot closed. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes, applies his Mubarak saliva on the bread and in the pot, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his own Mubarak hand began serving the Sahaba, taking bread, putting meat inside, giving each Sahabi food, and every Sahabi ate to his full, and still to the food did not become finished. There was another miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was witnessed at the time of Ghazwatul Ahzab, or Ghazwatul Khandaq as we know it. And thereafter, they continued exchanging arrows, etc. Thereafter, the Munafiqeen, their hypocrisy was shown also, that they left, they deserted the believers, they went back to their families, etc. And the iman of the Sahaba was tested at this time, but they passed it with flying colors. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. There are two groups from among the Sahaba, one who already fulfilled their covenant and their pact that they will remain upon Islam, they will remain steadfast in whatever conditions that are placed with them, and the other is those that are still going to carry out their covenant that they placed with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thereafter, friends and elders, we find that Allah Ta'ala granted the Muslims victory. A large windstorm came. Such a large windstorm came that began flying, sand began flying into their eyes. Their, while they were cooking, their pots now became overturned, their food began falling down, their pots began falling upon them. They could not see what was happening. Their animals began dying. Eventually, Abu Sufyan, who was a leader of the Kuffar, he climbed upon his animal and he told them that, I am now heading back to Makkah. And the others began following suit. And it was like a loss for the Kuffar. And thereafter, they returned back to Makkatul Mukarramah. And the Yahud, who had formed this coalition with the Kuffar, they also now departed. So this was the lesson that Allah Ta'ala taught us, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba remained steadfast on deen, and they remained steadfast upon the help, anticipating the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One ayat we had recited in the Taraweeh tonight, in this very same surah, in between this incident, Allah Ta'ala mentions that, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that for you in the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the perfect example. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانُ وَتَسْلِيمًا. That in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a perfect example. And what that means is, in every aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will definitely find success, and you will definitely be rightly guided. And Allah Ta'ala mentions that after following this way, when the believers saw this army is coming, they said, this is what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised us. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانُ وَتَسْلِيمًا. It increased them in their iman. So friends and elders, we take this lesson from this incident from the time of Rasulullah SAW mentioned the Quran Majid, that to remain steadfast upon Sunnah, to remain steadfast upon Deen, to remain steadfast upon the teaching of Islam, and inshallah that is our success. May Allah grant us all success. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.